season 3 of The Chirp with Darren Millard. And we are starting it off with a bang on the debut episode. Matthew Tkachuk is outside in the green room. And who just walked in but Jonathan Huberdeau? We have back-to-back interviews with those two. And believe it or not, it's not awkward at all. They're splitting a cheese platter. They've got great refreshments. They're just hanging out. Matthew, Jonathan, next.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke! I'm gonna run you, I'm just waiting for my shift!
It's so good to be back with you. I've missed you, each and every one of you, going around the globe on The Chirp with Darren Millard. It is season number 3. Hard to believe that it's season number 3 already. Bob Bender is really overwhelmed by all the response. I, myself, had full confidence that we were going to get here, considering we have a 45-season contract with the National Hockey League to keep doing this. We'll be doing this in hologram form by the time we get to season 45. Coming up this week, we knew we had to come out of the gate hot. So what do? But we bring in Matthew Tkachuk and Jonathan Huberdeau, traded for each other. We have number 2 in the NHL scoring race alongside number 8 in the NHL scoring race, traded for each other, and they're going to be on The Chirp with Darren Millard because they were part of the NHL media tour recently. They rolled through Las Vegas. They come to us. I don't go to them. They come to The Chirp with Darren Millard. And we got a chance to sit down with a bunch of players, but these two really stood out for each other. One, because obviously big-time players. Number 2, traded for each other. So separate interviews. But we talk about the overlap between the two, switching spots, getting set for everything. We're also going to give you some heads up on what to expect this year from the on-ice portion of the National Hockey League. Maybe coaches who have switched places, who's really set up for success. Coaches that didn't switch places, who might be on the hot seat, feeling it on the back of their neck. A player ready to break out. I have 2 of them. That I don't place wagers on hockey. I'm not allowed to, but I will give you just a heads up on 2 players that could totally surprise you with breakout performances. One, you know, from his past. Number, the other one might be just lying in the weeds, just ready to explode. And I also got some headlines for you from Philadelphia, from Boston, and from Toronto. Can't wait to get to this, but enough of me. Please welcome Matthew Tkachuk, who, when we recorded this interview, was fresh off the birthday party with brother Brady in Vegas as the NHL media tour rolled through. So they talk about some fun that they had with Matthew, and as well as all the success that's forthcoming that he is predicting in this transition to Florida. Here's Matthew. As we record this, it's baby brother's birthday.
Yes, it is.
What did you get him for his birthday?
I got him a hell of a night out. I think we're past the age of little gifts for each other, but yeah, hopefully we were able to be doing this for a bunch of years, and it's an excuse to celebrate his birthday wherever we are, so it was so much fun.
It's kind of cool. You guys get a night out on Vegas and just...
Yeah, what are the odds of that? Yeah, we're lucky guys.
Did you look at the dates, and who did he say to you, hey, we're going to be in Vegas at the media tour?
Yeah, so I was told a little bit about it before he was, but it was like within a day or so. I was like, God, it would be awesome if, you know, we both were the guys from our teams that went to, because we knew it was over his birthday, and then Robbie Thomas, who was in St. Louis, yeah. we were somewhere with him. He's like, I'm going too, and like the Hughes brothers are like, we're going, and we just had, a bunch of our close buddies.
Did you have to cap it?
Last night?
Yeah, like no. Okay, we got too many people coming out here.
No.
No?
It was good. It wasn't too crazy.
Thanks
but
for
it
the
was,
invite. Appreciate it. That was awesome.
We capped it there.
So how do you feel now that you've had a couple of months to digest this?
I feel great. I'm just so excited. I've been down in Florida, getting myself settled the last few weeks. Went down there late August for... move in, and kind of been there ever since. So getting to know all the players, the trainers, everybody's, it's been unbelievable. Like so much, I was so excited going there. I knew how great it was going to be for myself, and it's just exceeded everything. Each day, something better.
What kind of place did you get? Near the water?
I got a place near the water. Yeah, it's got the golf cart up and running. I'm sure some water toys will be coming in soon. So, it's a little bit different.
How pimped out is the golf cart? It's so far. Is it good?
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't have all, like, the cool, like, designs on it and stuff. It's just straight, like, matte black with the big wheels, and you need, like, a step to get up on it. It's ridiculous. It's funny.
Do you remember the first time you went to Calgary and moving in there and going through that process? I'm sure mom and dad, everybody was helping out. Now you're, like, all grown up.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I remember the first time I was talking about it last night, actually. The first time I went to Calgary for the season, not for, like, development camp, which was during Stampede, which was awesome. But right before the season, it was probably early September, mid-September, and we had, like, the charity golf tournament. I just got back from rookie camp. I'm like, gosh, like, I just need to sleep in one day. And it was September, and I was wearing a winter hat and, you know, basically bundled right up to go play. And I was just staying at the hotel then, and I'm like, it's crazy, you know, all these years down the road, and my life is just so different. It's crazy.
Now, Stampede's still pretty good, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'll make my way back there for that.
Oh, yeah. You got to do Stampede once, and then as soon as you do it once, it's like, I'm a season ticket holder. Yeah. Did you look at Florida and their roster list with numbers before you signed to make sure that you could get 19?
No, I did not.
You know it was available, though?
I did not, because Jumbo was there last year, and obviously, if he was back, I would have not been 19 at all. I would have picked something way different.
What would you choose?
I don't even know what was. If it would have gotten to that point, I would have been given a few options. Maybe I know 7 was taken. Maybe 77. I wore 7 growing up, or something with a 9 in it. Maybe I don't even know. Mm-hmm. But I like my number, so I'm sticking with it.
If we both text your dad right now, who'd he text back first?
Probably me, because he wants to hear about how our night went.
Oh, really? Okay, no. Get out your phone. Send him a text. I'm going to send him one right now.
Okay.
This is whether I'm actually in with the Kachucks or whether I'm just treated as like a guy that's bothering him every now and then, and they're polite to me. I heard he went on a golf trip.
Yeah, he just got back from, he was just in Ireland.
Heard his game's a little struggly.
Awful.
Really?
Awful. I kind of set him up. I'm cheating a little bit. I go, hilarious story about last night, ..
That's cheating. You already got that going. What's a golf day like with you guys? And does Taryn play?
No.
Mom play?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so just guys.
Just the three, yeah?
It depends, but like, well, maybe on a day like a Saturday. We're obviously not doing stuff with that, like, we'll go hang out with our friends Friday or after workout or after skate, go do something, do whatever that night. And then normally my dad, he only golfs first tee time because he doesn't like waiting. So we'll golf with him at like 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning, whatever the first tee time is, be done. There's 3-4 of us, be done just over 2 hours, have maybe some breakfast. And depending on what day it is, if it's a patio day or not, we'll be there for a few hours. And, one of us will get a text from my mom, be like, are you guys ever going to come home? And then we leave him with my mom, and we'll go hang out with some friends.
Who wins?
Right now, I am. My dad.
What's your cap?
6.
That's good.
Brady's trending, though. Like, he's got the golf swing, like, the body for it. Like, he looks like a golfer. He's not scoring that well right now, but he's gotten a lot better. And my dad's just the worst. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He used to be really good, but yeah.
What happened to him?
I think in like the last year or two, he's just like, I don't care. Like, he's not. We're out there. We would rather play fast than play well.
Oh.
That's our, like, we're not out
there. So before you do the score, you're saying we played in 2 hours and I shot a 86.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we'd way rather play in like an hour and 50 than shoot in the 70s. But some, like, Brady and I will.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, we're just. And we're not rushed. Some people are like, how the hell do you do
that? You stop the cart, don't you? Like, it's not like polo where you're like
running golf.
Yeah. But we'd rather play fast than play well, I guess.
You made the decision about the long term, and then like 2 days later, it happened. Mm-hmm. Did that surprise you that it was that quick?
I mean, I talked to, long story short, I talked to Calgary on like a Sunday, we'll call it. and I was allowed to talk to a few other teams for the next 2 or 3 days. So I talked to the teams that were interested in me and that I was interested in. Had a call with Florida maybe on Tuesday and Wednesday. Talked to tons of people within the organization. It was clearly going into it, once I found out that it could be a possibility and that they were interested, like that was number one for me by a, I wouldn't say by a mile, but like it was clearly the favorite for me. I was like, if they could find a way with Calgary, like that was, that's, that would be awesome. And then talked to them a few times and they're like, all right, we'll get back to you. We'll figure this out. This is my agent talking, my uncle.
Uncle Craig.
Yeah. And I got a call on Friday night saying, where are you? I'm like, I'm at dinner right now. Celebrating Brady's engagement. He's like, go outside. I got to send you something to sign. It's done. Signed it. Got my mom to be the witness. I had to pull her out of dinner. Went back in and...
No way.
Going to Florida, yeah.
They stopped stage Brady a little bit, too.
Yeah, he had his night Thursday, so yeah. Steal it a little bit Friday.
Did it happen quicker, though, than you thought? I was prepared for it to drag on and oh, will this be a distraction for you or the team or anything? But I mean, that was pretty cool.
I think that if I we helped each other a lot during it, so that made it easy. But like, if they wanted to stick it to me and be like, no, we're not like gonna help you out, and like we're gonna do it on our terms, it would have drug out. If I wanted to just screw them over, which is the last thing I want to do, it would have, you know, gone longer than it should have. Like it just, there's a lot of factors that if we weren't working together and maybe both unhappy with each other, it would have.
It's kind of cool that it worked out that way. That you guys were great about it.
Yeah, it was great about it. I mean, got exactly what I, you know, wanted. I probably got, you know, I've got more than what every other team, and you know, for just talking money wise, and just happened to be with the best, you know, more than Calgary, more than all the other teams I was looking at, and everything, and it just happened to be like the number one destination I wanted to go to as well, like had best team available and everything. So it just worked out perfect.
Now, did you have to reach out to cousin Tom?
We talked to
Tom Fitzgerald.
Yeah, we talked a little bit at the beginning, but at that point, like I had the, you know,
you don't
want to
mix family with business, like yeah. That. So that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I had the couple teams that I was probably. I was respectful to everybody and talking to people, but I was very honest with everything, yeah. And people respected that. And yeah, Tommy knows that, you know, I really wanted to go to, you know, Florida and or a couple other teams, so he understood and he was awesome about it. But he gave me a hell of a pitch, though.
You did?
Oh yeah.
Did he play the family card?
No,
I would have. One of the last interviews All of business. Last season was our buddy Paul Maurice, and you can talk to Paul forever. What was your first conversation like with him?
We talked on the phone during this process, and you know, I was one of the, you know, got to talk to the coach before you make a decision, right? Like it's one of the big factors and everything, and awesome talk, like. Really enjoyed that. And then first time going in Florida a couple weeks ago, I had to sit down with him in his office and just going over like everything, like family, expectations, but like not pressure, but just like how are we going to move forward? How are we going to win? I love he's in the same boat as me where like he's got the bitter taste in the last few years. Like he wants to win bad. I want to win bad. Like I haven't liked the way the last few seasons have gone. I mean, Florida, like, their guys are not happy with the way the last few playoffs have ended. So, like, it's just a perfect storm, and everyone's so excited. But I think me and him, you know, like, talking to each other, you know, coming from, you know, Winnipeg and coming from Calgary, it's like a fresh start for both of us, almost on a new team. And we've got some new faces that we can rely on. We're both just smiling ear to ear, knowing where we're at.
You guys are familiar with each other.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Winnipeg and Calgary, yeah. So.
And now we're in South Beach. No, South Beach. South Florida.
Yeah, I'm fine with South Beach.
Yeah.
I'll get over there with you.
No, I'm South Beach is fine, but Fort Lauderdale in that area, it's nothing better. There is no better, and I haven't played a game yet, there's no better place to play in the NHL.
I live in Vegas, and there's part of me that's a little bit jealous. So that's pretty good.
That's saying something. I mean, this is
a bad spot either. You ready to have some fun?
Yeah.
Except quick hitters. First off, this isn't even on the list. Why the hell do you wear a mouth guard? it's never in your, like,
yeah, really in your mouth. It probably hurts more than it helps. It probably does.
Yeah.
Your
dentist ever talk to you about?
All the time.
Really?
Every time I saw her in Calgary, every time I'd go in for a checkup. But, I mean, it's in more than people, like, it just happens to be, like, the times where, like, the camera's on me where it's out. But most of the time it's in.
It's tough to chirp with, but how do you chirp while you're chewing that thing on the outside?
Well, you can't talk. I don't chirp. That's why, like, people always think I, like, chirp.
You don't, what do you mean you don't chirp?
I don't chirp. It's just, I'm chewing on it the whole time. I don't have, like, the energy or, that's impossible to.
That's one of the big misnomers about you then.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that you're one of the great.
No.
Chirpies.
No.
Really?
Yeah, but people just.
Brady said you could bring it.
Well, when I bring it to him, yeah. But he's just mentally weak, you know.
Headphones or earbuds? No wrong answer here. What do you wear? Headphones or earbuds?
Earbuds.
Earbuds. Your favorite announcer, hockey announcer?
I like Doc Emrick. He's my guy. Yeah.
Pretty good. Last time you changed your stick pattern?
I went to a bigger blade, like a paddle. Mm-hmm. One of my first few years in the NHL.
Why did you go to the paddle?
I just tried it out in the summer, and they're like, yeah, it's not going to make a difference with anything other than might be a little bit, like, easier to knock pucks down or tip pucks or whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, let's do it. If it has no effect on, and I'm not, like, really into equipment or anything, but so I've used the same curve my whole life. Like,
really?
Youth. I think it was, like, the Nick Backstrom curve.
Wasn't Keith Kachuk curve?
It was not a Keith Kachuk curve, no. I want to send you guys a picture, actually. I was at my parents' house not too long ago, like before I came, so last month, and we found one of his sticks, like in the basement.
Yeah.
I swear it was like here, it was dead straight, and then right at the end it was like kind of like O'Reilly's.
O'Reilly, yeah.
But like more, like it was insane. I couldn't believe it.
How do you have 1,000 points with that?
And like even his last year, he was playing like fourth line center and like barely playing, not playing like every game. And he still, like, had 20 goals. It's crazy. It's I can't believe it.
You broke his single-season points record. What other, like, career milestone would you like to achieve that or overcome your dad? The goals, the assists, the points, PIMS?
Yeah, I'm not beating him in PIMS. That might be a Brady thing. we're giving him tons of shit this summer. And, like, you know, we're just chirping each other, golfing or with a big crew, and like, I would just be like, Dad, like, it's got 100, though, on you. Like, and you were there. Or, like, something like that. He'd be like, I scored. Or he's like, he always throws 50 and 500. Those are his things. So, he's like, I scored 50. I scored 500. Let me know when you guys do it. I don't know. So that would be, I got 40 this year. So, I don't know. Just keep shooting, I guess. You never know.
I was there the night that he scored 50. I've never watched somebody try so hard to score. It was amazing. I loved it. Personal item that you take on the road?
My Theragun.
Oh.
Yeah, just like shoulders, back.
What do you work on most? Which part of the body?
Calves and like my feet. My skates. I hate skates. They always kill my feet. So, yeah, hockey player who hates skates. So. Yeah.
Last time you danced?
Last time I've danced, probably at like my 7th grade mixer. I don't know if that's called dancing.
Yeah, hell of a night, though.
Hell of a night, yeah.
It was probably with like all dudes over here. Yeah. All girls over this grade 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Like T-Pain's playing. Like, yeah.
And maximum length of a gimme putt?
Depends what hole. I
does
believe
it depend who you're playing with? Like,
absolutely.
Does Brady get more less
absolutely
than Dad?
Yeah. Brady has the putting woes like I've never seen, so we don't give him much.
Really?
We don't give him much, yeah. Do you know what? He, a couple feet, but, it, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, when it matters, hole one. I believe in good karma, though, so I give him out all the time. My favorite one's next one's good. I love that one. See people just blow it right by.
Check your phone. Anything?
Yes, sir.
You.
10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago. He just hit me with a question mark.
I don't have anything back. Nothing. And we know he's on his phone. Well, that settles it. Well, appreciate it. Thought we were tight. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Of course.
That's awesome.
That competition with Matthew, that's officially under protest because he cheated. He talked about last night being the birthday party last night. Of course, Dad wants to know what happened with the birthday party. And Dad texted Matthew back. So under protest, Keith and I go way back to Winnipeg days. And I thought I might have had a chance there. Awesome stuff. How about that? Like being on the golf course with those three Tkachuks beaking each other. That would be reality TV at its best. So much fun. And I can't think about the Florida without now having that golf cart in my head and Matthew going with it. Interesting, though. Matthew going from Calgary to Florida and Jonathan Huberdeau going the other way. And what comes up in both conversations? The Stampede, which is just the most amazing experience that person can have. And that will draw you in. Jonathan Huberdeau has been all over Calgary. He has certainly embraced what has occurred during a tumultuous summer, a whirlwind summer. We're going to chat with him now about what life was like when this all went down, what the transition has been for him, as well as some of the nuances of Jonathan Huberdeau, his first car. Why doesn't he break any sticks? Will he shoot a little bit more? And there's one other thing. When you talk about a player that could benefit the most out of all this, maybe his winger and Tyler Toffoli, a 30-goal man in the past, I think he could get 40 playing with a pure passer like Jonathan Huberdeau. Let's slide over to Jonathan Huberdeau over in dressing room 7. Where's your headspace at going into this season?
I'm excited. I think it's, all summer, obviously, it's been a roller coaster summer for me. And now I'm just excited to be a Flame.
You got a place, you're all set up, everything's...
Not quite. I'm renting a place down there, and I'm still looking for houses there.
I can't remember. Did it happen before or after Stampede? Was it after Stampede, the deal?
It was after. It would have been nice to go check it out. But I've been to the Stampede one time. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was cool. It's cool, so I'm looking forward. Obviously, it's in the summer, but looking forward to it. After a nice Stanley Cup would be nice, right?
There you go. Did you hear what Uyghur said about Florida and Calgary? Just talking about Calgary's, he thinks Calgary's better.
Yeah, I know. He was like, I don't know why I said that to put the, but yeah, I mean, personally, obviously we're in Calgary now, and we think we have a better team. And I mean, he's right. I think we have a good team. Florida is a good team as well, but I think overall, I think we have a lot of depth, and we're excited for obviously to get going in training camp.
Now, you've been in the same location for a while, so it's you go to camp, you know the rink, you know all the people. Will you use this as an opportunity to change anything, either in routine or how you play or anything like that?
No, not how I play. I mean, I'm going to be the same player out there and what I do best. And I think, obviously, the routine is going to change. I mean, I was used to do all my stuff in Florida, but it's going to be a change, but I'm excited for the change. I think in life, sometimes you need to change things up, and, obviously I didn't decide it, but, I mean, I'm going to take that as it's a new chapter, and I'm just excited for it.
What will the trainers or the equipment staff have to know about you? Are you a stick guy? Do you get to the rink early? Are you a right-on-time guy? Do you like to watch video right before you go out, or...?
Yeah, I'm more of a guy that likes to go out there and play and kind of don't think about too much stuff. I just want to have fun, and that's when I'm at my best, I feel. And obviously, I'm on time. You have to be on time.
Yeah. But, well, especially with Daryl, right?
Yeah, Daryl, yeah. You probably started the meeting earlier too, so you got to be 10 minutes before the meeting time. But you want to be on time, and I'm a guy that... likes to have fun and, play free and, be the best I can be.
How many sticks would you have ready for each game?
Probably two, only two. I mean,
that's it.
I usually tape, don't even tape my backup stick. So, I mean, it's probably used tape on it, but I usually have one stick. I don't break many sticks, so usually, so I'm good with one stick a game.
When was the last time you broke a stick taking a shot?
6 years ago. I mean, it's like been that, right? it's been a while. I mean, I don't shoot too much. Like, I don't do one timer like Ovechkin does. But it's usually going to be a slash or something. But a shot, yeah. It's pretty rare.
Do you think you'll shoot more in Calgary?
Not really. I mean, I still shoot. Like I say that, I don't shoot. But I mean, no, it's not going to change. I mean, when I have a chance, I shoot. When I can pass, I can pass. But it's not going to change my game.
Are you done with the whole trade thing? Like, especially the last couple of days, we're talking over and over, and you're doing a couple of different things.
Yeah, I just don't want to talk about it anymore.
And, you should have told me that at the start.
I know, like, no, we're still talking about it. But
I know.
No, but, I mean, it's been like this, the whole summer. And now I'm just excited to get going because now everybody's going to forget about it. And now it's a new start. And I want to, you know, think in the present and, you know, the past. It happened. The trade happened. Now it's time to play hockey.
Hey, how different are you now than when you first broke into the National Hockey League as a player, as a person?
Yeah, you're more mature. Obviously, you mature. You're older, and you know. I think you grow as a person and as a player as well. I mean, my career always, you know, I've been better every year, and I think now it's kind of the age that it's in your prime of your career, and it's time to take advantage of that.
You made a lot of people in Calgary really happy though with the signing. That happened quickly.
I think Brad did a tremendous job. You know, with that trade, obviously, you know, for them, they were losing two great players and, you know, replacing them. But it's nice to see, like, the hype of the city, and they're excited to have me and Weegs and Kadri. And, you know, they already have a good team. And then we had these pieces. It's great. And you can just tell that the people are happy. And, yeah, they're happy, but I think we got to show them why they're happy.
Do you know anybody on the team? Have you played with anybody?
I played with Markstrom in Florida.
Okay. Yeah,
That's where he got drafted. Yeah. So when he was young, but if not, I don't really know. I mean, obviously, Weegs came with Florida, and that's about it.
Nice. First roommate in the NHL?
Nick Bjugstad.
Who is the messy one out of the two of you?
Him.
Yeah?
Terrible. He went to college.
Right, exactly.
Thought he was in his dorm still.
Your first NHL goal?
Against Carolina. First shot. So
really?
Good. Yeah.
First shot in your career?
Yeah. It's easy. Yeah. Easy league.
Totally. What about your last NHL goal?
Hopefully it's not my last one.
No, your most recent. See, I like it when they start giving it to me.
Against Washington, because I sure don't have a goal against Tampa. So, Washington, yeah.
Washington.
First
car.
1999, station wagon, Saturn.
Really?
Burgundy.
I love
standard
that.
Too.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you still drive a standard? When was the last time you drove
a
standard?
Yeah, I can still. I mean, I kind of, the way it is you got to start with it and then you know how to drive it your whole life.
Yeah, once you hit three vehicles behind you on a hill, you figure it out. first fight?
It's actually against, in the NHL or? NHL. It was, who was it? Joey Gardner, I think. I think it was his first fight as well.
Yeah?
So it wasn't a good fight.
It wasn't a good fight. What were you going to say about your first fight?
And I was going to say, I fought Antoine Roussel.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
He was 20 and I was 16 at the time.
You couldn't get away?
He missed me with an uppercut. I would have died, but I'm here now, so it's good. He missed me.
You couldn't skate away from him that fast? Like,
no, but he kind of jumped me, but he let me, like, drop my glove. But I did well, actually, to play. Well, I didn't know he was, like, that type of player. Like, back then, I was young, but it's okay.
I'd have PTSD about that. last time you danced?
I like to dance. I don't know. Probably yesterday.
Seriously?
Yeah. In my shower, I dance all the time.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't shower today. That means
I'm telling you, we should take this on the road, you and I. We're good at this. Major, minor, or let it go. Penalties. You're the referee. Celebrating a goal in summer hockey.
Let it go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you celebrate in summer hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. You're happy.
Why don't guys enjoy scoring more? Like, you passers. I don't know why you guys don't want to score as much.
No, I'm just a great person. No.
I'm gonna leave it right there, Jonathan. That's great to see you again. But best of luck. You're in an amazing city, and I'm so pumped to watch this develop.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The fact that we were able to have that conversation after he had that fight is a credit to him in being able to just stay alive, but also throw a couple of punches. Wild stories. Love being able to talk to these guys in person. It's been a while, but this is a lot of fun. Now, those are two conversations with Jonathan and Matthew that just kind of set the table for a whole bunch more that are going to come in the next couple of weeks. If you like that, hit the like button right now, before you forget. Smash that like button and send us your questions, your comments, anything that you want to know. I'm around the rink all the time. I can fire some of these questions to people in and around the National Hockey League. There's a lot coming our way as we sneak up on this season. The team that people are probably most fixated in outside of a club that went to a Stanley Cup final, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they've dealt with some injuries to start on their blue line. And this story that's coming out about Mitch Marner potentially playing the blue line. Hold your horses, ladies and gentlemen. This is not something that, even though it's being spun as they've looked at it, they've talked about it, there's a possibility to do this. Could it be advantageous, Mitch Marner playing on the blue line? This is purely something that they, if they do it, they have to do it. You're no way you're playing Mitch Marner in the blue line if you don't have to do it. Please, come on. The media's run with this. Hockey operations, everybody's talking about it. The problem is, would he be eligible for the Norris? That would be a really interesting situation.
Hey, Darren, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Is there a coach that has more pressure on their shoulders heading into this season than Sheldon Keefe?
No, because I think that goes to the Toronto Maple Leaf team as a whole. General manager, coach, everybody around there. The general manager doesn't have a contract after this year. So that's unique in that situation. No, they have to win. I don't even think, Bob, that a round does it. Like, they haven't won a round in forever, but I think this is an organization that has to go deeper in the playoffs than just getting to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they've got new goaltenders. They've got a beat up blue line to start, but they can score. So I think they'll be okay to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but then you got to put it together. As far as pressure though, like, there were so many coaching changes last year that it's almost like anybody who is returning to their job is under a little bit of pressure. Like Dave Hakstol, that wasn't the season that Seattle wanted. Is he facing any pressure? Probably a little bit. They've had an outstanding preseason, a great start to what the games that they've played. I know it's only exhibition, but it's a little bit of confidence. I think there's pressure there. Lindy Ruff's been with New Jersey a couple of times. They're expected to take another step. Is there pressure on him to really get that organization into the mix? Ottawa's got a lot of young kids. They acquired a lot of talent. They have to get off to a good start.
Don't forget, Darren, Andrew Brunette is now an assistant with the Devils, almost, I don't want to get into the conspiracy theories, but almost grooming Andrew Brunette potentially to take over for Lindy Ruff if they do get off to a rough start.
Bob, we've been over this before. We don't talk about Bruno. Right? We don't talk about Bruno.
That's right. That's right. Right? That is disrespectful. That's right.
There's another coach that I love him, Bruce Boudreau. He's got the contract for this year. He had a great second half, but they didn't do anything with the contract. So again, it's like anybody that coached all of last year and returns, they're feeling a little bit of pressure. You know, there's a person that I thought would stay and ended up changing jobs in Bruce Cassidy. He's in my backyard in Vegas, where I work with the Vegas Golden Knights. I wonder whether he got that there was sort of a nice thing that happened to him. He wanted to stay in Boston, but they're so beat up right now with the Bruins. I see that Taylor Hall's not going to be ready for the season opener. They're going with the all Czech Republic line right now in Zacha, Krejci, and Pasternak. Jim Montgomery's got to move some pieces around. Brad Marchand is not going to be available. Charlie McAvoy is not going to start the season. Matt Grzelcyk, they've got a lot of challenges ahead of them to start this season.
Could be the last dance for the yes. Boston Bruins with all these players teams. Together.
Yeah, a few teams in that category. Like is Washington? Is this the last real go-around for the Washington Capitals in their mix? How much energy have the Tampa Bay Lightning expended in the last 3 years to get to three straight championships? Is the wick down on that team right now? Now, they've got some players that after catching their breath, they could certainly be back in the mix. But there's a lot of build-up implications from a salary cap perspective of moving things around with the Tampa Bay Lightning that's going to make it challenging.
Yes, Darren, the people want to know, they're clamoring for a few bold predictions from you. Bold.
Breakout players. Miro Heiskanen. He joins a team that's coached now by Pete DeBoer, or he stays with the team coached by Pete DeBoer. Pete DeBoer has had great success with Brent Burns in the past. Shea Theodore has set career highs with Vegas when Pete was there. I think Miro Heiskanen has the potential to jump into that upper echelon of blue liners with the likes of Kale McCarr and guys that we've seen in the past. So I think that that's a guy that if I was going to look at Norris Trophy candidates, dark horses, people that aren't front and center, he's one. And I'll stay with Vegas. The potential best offseason signing from a bargain standpoint, Phil Kessel. $1.5 million. He's playing on a line right now with Jack Eichel and Riley Smith. He didn't hit double digits last year in goals. I think he could get 30, honestly, with Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel, I think, is a 100-point guy this season. For $1.5 million, a veteran player, Phil Kessel, look at him as a real the player that turns it upside down from last year's stats.
Phil's got to stay away from the Vegas restaurants and he'll be okay. Stay away from the,
he looks great, Bob. Bob, he looks fantastic. He's got so much jump. I'm really impressed. And he's got that chip on his shoulder, kind of like you when you get mad when the recording and stuff doesn't work properly, or I screw up. I don't move the microphone around properly. He's got that chip on his shoulder. He's emotional, but not as outward as you are. I think there's something there with Phil.
Fair enough. And with Miro Heiskanen, I think I've heard that for about four straight seasons. But right? Now the coach needs to kind of unleash him and let him go. I feel like he had a little
very
bit of
different.
Yes.
Very different. Rick Bowness, mm-hmm. Pete DeBoer, how they handle their blue line. You're right. We've heard that the last few years. I remember talking to Darryl Wright, and he's like, the best defenseman in the world is Miro Heiskanen. And that was a couple of years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup final.
It's time.
It is time. And I think he's got the green light to just go and make that happen. As far as scoring title, you don't go against Connor McDavid. I'm sorry. But if you want to give me your top five in the scoring title, I think this is probably the toughest year ever to predict who's going to round out that top five. There's so many players, and the league is opening up. We saw the scoring in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think that it's going to be a challenge to predict, but I'll go Austin Matthews is obviously one. Kucherov seems to get forgotten at times. I know mm-hmm. that sounds weird because he's been to three straight Stanley Cup finals, but people kind of overlook him from a scoring title standpoint, the odd occasion. There's also, I mentioned Jack Eichel, I think could jump into that mix this year. Marner, if he's not playing defense, will be in the top five. Who, though, I'll ask you a question, Bob.
Oh, boy.
Who finishes with more points on the Toronto Maple Leafs, Marner or Matthews? Not goals, but points.
I would take Matthews, but I understand what you're saying with Marner. And another name that I'll throw out there, Darren, if he plays a full season and he's out there and healthy, Nate McKinnon.
Yep.
Okay, he's got his contract. Nate McKinnon, he'll be in that mix too.
I would love to see a defenseman get into the top five. I don't know that it can happen. Cale Makar, we're going to talk to in a couple of weeks. He was part of the NHL media tour. Can't wait to tell you about where he keeps all his trophies. Fun stuff. We'll get into some other news and notes as we go along here, as well as predictions. We'll filter it out through the first few weeks of the season. A lot of fun. I'm just so pleased to be back with you, Bob. We've got something going. Like, you and I, we're like two line mates who hang out at night. We go for dinner. We're always watching hockey together. We're just inseparable.
Season three, and we're in sync, baby.
Yeah,
we're in sync. And you know what? Listen, we met a few times over the course of the past year. You know, spent some time in Vegas with the player media tour with you. So we're tightening up the ship a little bit, Darren. I agree with you.
You notice I saw you twice in Vegas when you were out here. I went to New York and you couldn't find the time to walk 12 blocks to come and see me. That's where this relationship really hinges. You can see I'm willing to go the extra mile. You can't even come and see me when I'm in your city.
Those broadcast meetings are very, very busy, very tiring, especially if you're doing the flight from the west to the east. I was laying out. I was letting you do your thing. Plus, by the way, let's not forget, I was in Vegas and I had the worst sore throat I've ever had in my life. I'm lucky I got through the next few days. So when you were in New York carousing the town, I was struggling with a little bit of a head cold. So I battled through Vegas.
It's dry out here. We've want to let you know there's one question that's going to come up in the next couple of weeks over and over, and it's a question to the players whether you completely dismiss it or whether you'll allow it. It's whether you put in the milk in a cereal bowl before the cereal, and that is a really, if that doesn't hook you, I don't know what does.
It's a little game we played. It's a little game we played called major penalty, minor penalty, let it go. So we play that with a few of the players that we sat down and interviewed. So that'll be in the coming episodes, Darren.
And I tried it. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. I actually tried it after I heard about it. And it's ridiculous,
that's on you.
But the players will give their answer. Again, smash that like button, share it with everybody. Let us know what you think. Great to be back with you. Can't wait to bring you some of these other conversations. Goaltenders, defensemen, forwards, Stanley Cup champions, individual award winners, all hanging out with us. Plus the current interviews where we catch up to people week by week. Thanks for joining us on The Chirp with Darren Millard, season 3, episode 1.